Hello, everyone, and welcome to Glance and Go Radio, Episode 6, for Monday, the 26th of September, 2011.
The Mango Strikes Back.
All right, and we're back. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kevin.
So, I don't have mango yet. Do you have mango?
Well, we both have beta mango.
RTM.
No, I don't. But it's right around the corner. Of course, we said that last time, but this time it's actually true. All the signs seem to indicate that it's definitely on their way. We've seen some updates showing up that apparently are going to allow those of us on the beta to clean up our phones and transition right onto the RTM version without having to revert to Nodo.
Yeah,
I'm actually really happy about that.
Yeah, when I read that story this morning, that was like the phone gods shining upon us.
I know. It made my morning. And I knew that I had a good idea that they would probably do something like that, because why would they punish us for beta testing their software by making us lose all of our game saves and all of our SMS history and everything that we've done in the last couple of months? So they didn't have to do it, but they're so awesome for doing that.
Although at the same time, now I'm kind of mad because I've spent the last couple of weeks trying to burn through Angry Birds thinking that I didn't want to start over. And now I could have just kept playing.
Well, you can go back and get, replay those levels and try to get 3 stars. You're going to have to anyway.
I actually have 3 stars on every level in the game.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay,
the only thing I haven't gotten is a couple of the golden eggs, but, you know. But yeah, so I saw that story at, 9 o'clock this morning, and it was... And then I just happened to go check Pocket Now, which is a really good website. I like them. They're good.
Yeah, they're great.
But they had just, a couple hours before that, put up a big article with a video showing you how you can revert your phone back to Nodo so you can upgrade to Mango.
They went to a lot of trouble to put that together, yeah, and it wasn't even necessary. Oh, okay, they've actually posted a news story that says, oh, this isn't required anymore. Great. So, a couple of new Windows phones have been shown off lately. There's one from ZTE called the Tanya?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
I've actually been saying that all day. I've been like, Tanya? How are... And maybe some third option I don't even know about. I don't know.
Tania? Who knows? Anyway, it's not going to hit Europe or North America, right? It's supposed to be in East Asia?
Yeah, more than likely, because I'm pretty sure ZTE has never released a phone outside of Asia.
I've never heard of them until today, so I think you're right. But it looks really cute. Kind of like the Samsung Focus, sort of.
It looks exactly like the Samsung Focus. Literally,
yeah,
literally, what they did was they went over to Samsung and they stole the design for the Focus.
And see, then, I was being nice and saying it kind of looks like a Samsung Focus.
No. I have a Focus. It looks exactly like it. The only thing they did was they made it white, which it looks really nice.
Yeah.
It's got a bigger screen. It's got a 4.3-inch screen.
Yes.
But other than that, and the buttons look like HTC Windows Phone buttons.
Yeah, they do.
But if you turn it around back, the camera and the speaker are in the exact same place. It's very strange. And the outline of the phone, it's all the same as the Focus. It's really weird. Also, I haven't seen anything about it having a front-facing camera. But it's just weird because if you look at the top of the phone, it has it has the black circle, and I mean there's also a proximity sensor, you know, on the top of smartphones.
Yeah,
but
that could be inside of the earpiece though.
Yeah, and the black circle up there, it looks way too big to be a proximity sensor, because usually they're really small.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a front-facing camera to me.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it has better specs than anybody thinks it does.
Yeah, and for reference to the listeners, we're looking at the WP Central article about the ZTE Tanya. I think it's a front-facing camera myself, but we'll see. So, there's another new phone. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, the other new phone, this is the first Mango phone we've seen from Samsung. Is it? Well, yeah. It's the first one we've actually seen.
Right.
As far as they released press shots of it.
Right. So the first one they've really admitted to existing.
Well, AT&T said, you know, they've got the Focus S and the Focus Flash coming, but we haven't seen any pictures of them. We actually did see...
Oh, right.
There is a leaked picture of the Focus S online, but there's no been, like, official, yeah, pictures.
Right. I forgot about that. So, the Samsung Omnia WU. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. What's weird, though, is it's a follow-up to the Samsung Omnia, which was one of Samsung's launch Windows phones in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that phone had a 4-inch screen, and the follow-up is going down to 3.7 inches.
Yeah, I guess they thought 4 inches was too big.
So I don't know if maybe they're going to release the Focus S in Europe as well, because it does have the bigger screen, the Galaxy S2 screen, basically.
Right. This one does have a front-facing camera, and if you look at the photos, the front-facing camera on this is a lot smaller than what we think is the front-facing camera on the Tanya.
Yeah, every other Mango phone so far has had a front-facing camera, so the ZTE is the first one. Which leads me to believe it does have a front-facing camera, but...
Right. So, the Omnia W, it looks pretty cool. It has a Super AMOLED display. But I didn't see any mention... It says it has 8 gigs of storage, but I didn't see any mention of a user-accessible SD card slot. Can we assume that it has one, since the Focus has one?
I don't know, because I don't know if the first Omnia had an SD storage or not.
Oh, I don't either. That would be a good thing to check.
I would guess it would be more based off of the first Omnia than the Focus, but maybe not.
Right. Has a 1.4 gigahertz processor, though. That's pretty cool. I don't know what the first one had, though.
Just a 1 gigahertz.
Okay, like all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's pretty sweet.
And then as far as last episode, we talked about the HTC Radar. It has since been confirmed as going to T-Mobile as the Radar 4G.
Right.
The HTC Titan is going to AT&T.
Right. T-Mobile's first 4G Windows phone. Yay!
Which I don't think... is the Titan going to be called the Titan 4G? Or is it just the Titan?
I don't know. I guess that's up to AT&T, huh? I was really hoping T-Mobile would get the Titan, too. Because that's the phone I want.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, it would have been nice, at least if HTC had brought the HD7S to T-Mobile.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But, I don't know. Actually, I guess we're going to wait and see what this new Nokia phone looks like, too. Or at least I am, before I buy a new one.
I've pretty much already decided that I'm going to try to stay either...
You're going to stay with a phone?
I'm either going to stay on AT&T until my contract runs out. Well, that's probably what I'm going to do. But just because I don't want to sign another contract right now, I'd rather just go ahead and wait until next fall when undoubtedly Windows Phone 8 comes out. And then sign a contract onto a Windows Phone 8 phone.
Okay, but you can't possibly be telling me that you're not going to switch phones between now and then. I know you.
I'll definitely probably have a different phone.
at least one.
I'll probably have a different phone before the end of the year. Either if I stay with T-Mobile or if I stay with AT&T, it's either going to be the HD7S or the Dell Venue Pro. I don't know.
So. Okay. Yeah, you're all about the Dell Venue Pro. I saw some of your tweets about it.
Yeah, but I like the HD7S too, though, just because it has the kickstand and the big screen. Mm-hmm. So.
So you actually wrote a story about the Dell Venue Pro on our website. It was one of our first, well, actually, it was our first non-episode blog entry, right?
It was. Basically, the outline for posts onto the blog is to write stories about stuff that specifically interests us, and not necessarily... Yes. The same news that you're reading on every other website, because there's really no point in becoming another Windows Phone news source, because there's plenty.
Yeah, there's plenty, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to write about things that we think are cool.
What happened was I discovered a couple weeks ago that I couldn't find the Dell Venue Pro on contract on Dell's website.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a couple of days later, a bunch of Windows Phone websites started reporting, oh, it's no longer available on contract. But I actually did manage to go back to Dell's website and find it. It's only available on T-Mobile contract. It's no longer with AT&T contract. You can still buy it unlocked with bands for either carrier.
Yeah, but you can only get it on contract if you go into Dell's T-Mobile specifics selection, right, on their site. It's kind of hard to find.
Right, they buried it. You used to could just click on the Dell Venue Pro and it would bring up the phone and it would bring up the options. Now, when you click on the phone, the only thing it offers you up front is unlocked. It doesn't even, there's like nowhere on the page it even talks about how you could get it on a contract.
Right. So, I mean, I can see why the other sites posted that it wasn't available anymore, but you managed to find it and you let them know, right?
We did. We let them know. It took some persistence before they actually started correcting their stories. I guess they didn't want to believe us. They're like, we've checked it. It's not there.
Yeah, you had to sort of send them directly to it. But they did correct themselves. And Windows Phone Daily actually gave us a pretty good shout-out. We'd like to thank them for that. They have a really awesome website. And we really appreciated it.
They do. Windows Phone Daily, they're cool. They're definitely a friend of the show.
Definitely.
Well, it's not, you know, we've buried the lead. Because in the time we've been gone, Microsoft had their big build conference where they talked about Windows 8 in depth for the first time.
Yes. Not just talking about it, they actually released, I mean, everyone knows this already, but we're going to go ahead and, you know, they released a Windows 8 developer preview build that anybody can go on online and download. Did you see those tablets that they gave away to everyone that attended build? They were like these Samsung developer tablets.
I did. They were really nice.
Yeah. I wish I had one, and some of the people that went are actually selling them on eBay for thousands of dollars.
They do have a fan in them, though, which is...
Oh, that's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a little not very tablet-like.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess before now, tablets, there were probably, you know, were a lot of, like, Windows 7 tablets with fans in them to help them. I think it was really probably, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, Apple is kind of setting the bar for tablets, at least as far as consumers are concerned.
Right.
And not necessarily my opinion. So, you know, and they kind of set the standard for how, you know, how thin and light a tablet should be and stuff like that. So, and I definitely think we're going to see a lot of Windows 8 tablets just like that.
Yeah. I mean, a tablet, like Microsoft says, a tablet is just a PC. And I really like how they're sort of defining the way forward, you know, that we're not in a post-PC world. You know, the PC is actually still relevant, and the tablet is just another form of PC. And I love that with Windows 8, you have the instant on and the touch-friendly, you know, UI that you would expect with Metro UI, you know, but you also have the full power of the Windows desktop at your disposal. So you're not limited. Because a lot of people with, you know, iPads, they're having to find apps for remote desktop and ways to, you know, sort of remote into other machines to do the real productivity that they want to do. But with a Windows 8 tablet, you just swipe over to the desktop and go ahead and be productive.
Well, and I mean, there's been a lot of articles on this, but it, you know, and it seems kind of like you don't want to jinx yourself by saying it, but it does seem like Microsoft is actually managing to out Apple.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, they are, you know, they're taking this no compromises approach as far as it is a full OS on your tablet. It is not limited.
Exactly.
And it even still, it boots faster than an iPad does.
Yep. And it does way more. It already has, hundreds of thousands or even millions of applications available for it because it's Windows?
Yeah. And they said, you know, when it comes to developers writing apps for it, that they'll only have to change, like, one or two lines of code to make it compatible with Windows Phone and vice versa.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's completely accurate, because I did some reading on, you know, how to port your Windows Phone apps to Windows 8, and I think it's going to be a little more complicated than that, because you're targeting different runtimes. You know, there's a lot of overlay, but I don't think you're going to be able to change just a couple lines of code. I think it may require a little bit more modification.
Well, you know, what I would say to that is we don't know what they were talking about as far as they could have been talking about Windows Phone 8 apps.
Ah, that's true. Very true. And very cool if that's the case. That's really awesome.
Because, I mean, more than likely, you know, they're going to share a lot of similarities, possibly even the same kernel, some people have speculated.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll more than likely probably launch right alongside each other.
Probably. Yeah, and we may see that Windows 8 is Windows 8 no matter what you use it on, phone, tablet, or PC. So, I actually downloaded the developer preview and did a dual boot installation with Windows 7. And I don't have a touch screen, so I'm just using my mouse and keyboard, so things are a little weird. Like, I haven't been able to get the charms thing on the right side of the screen to come up, but you can move your mouse down to the bottom left side of the screen, and a miniature version of that pops up with those five options. I mean, it's pretty cool. It boots really quickly. It runs really fast. Everything's super responsive. But it's rather limited right now because it is a preview version. They haven't really fleshed out the music and video and pictures playback yet. You just have to go to the desktop mode for that. It comes with Windows Media Player still, which I thought was kind of funny. I was, you know, I was really hoping that that Zune would be fully integrated with the OS, kind of like it is on the phone. And I think it will be.
Yeah, I think it will be.
One other quick thing
I wanted to say about Windows 8, sorry. I was reading an article on This Is My Next.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of great former Engadget people working at it. but it was an article talking about the new Motorola Atrix Android phone. Not important. The important part is, you know, it's that phone, and Motorola is doing this with a lot of their Android phones. They come with that laptop dock.
Yes.
That you can plug your phone in, and it brings up a really different interface, but it's a computer interface, but it's really streaming internet from your phone, so it's using your phone's data. And I mean, it's kind of, but he, you know, made the kind of obvious observation, but an important one, that, you know, that would be awesome with Windows 8 and Windows Phone.
Yeah, it really would be. Just dock your phone, and then you have a Windows 8 Metro UI on your big monitor to use.
And I mean, it would be even better because there's no jarring difference between Windows Phone and Windows 8. Whereas when you plug your Android phone into that laptop dock, it brings up like a really different interface.
Yeah, it brings up like a Linux desktop. It's not Android. It's some flavor of Linux. I mean, which Android is too, but, you know, it's not the same. Like you said, it's not quite the same interface. This would be. It would just be on a much bigger display, and you would have new capabilities available to you. But it would still be the same system, same pictures, same media library. That would be really cool.
So let's burn through a couple news stories. HTC, they're releasing an Android phone that features Beats by Dre audio technology.
Yeah.
Which they made a big deal about. They also confirmed that they are working on a Windows phone that will also feature it. This makes a lot more sense than Android, because Android doesn't have a dedicated music platform.
Exactly.
I mean, they are working on Google Music, but who knows when it'll be out, so...
Yeah, and it'll probably be based on, you know, uploading all of your music to the cloud and being able to access it, whereas we have this built-in first-party music experience with the Zune Pass where you can just listen to whatever you want. You don't have to upload anything. So, yeah, that'd definitely be really cool with the Beats technology.
Last episode, we talked about the new Windows Phone slogan, which is put people first. It's all over their YouTube page, Facebook. They filed a trademark for it. So that's good. Hopefully it's here to stay, because I think it's really good.
Yeah, I really like it. I'm really glad they didn't trademark Glance and Go. But that was just sort of something they used as a description, not really as a slogan. So
That's a good point.
Me too. I mean, I know.
maybe they trademarked it somewhere and we just don't know about it.
I hope not.
And then they're going to sue us. But
no, please don't sue us, Microsoft. We really, really like you.
Another funny story was that a Microsoft employee was tweeting about how he had gotten to see a Nokia Windows phone. And at first he was tweeting about how amazing it was and it looked really slick. And then people started asking him questions.
Specific questions.
And it wasn't like he didn't start bad-mouthing the phone, but he did start talking about what he didn't like about it. For instance, he said he would like a phone with a bigger screen.
And, right.
What was the other thing he said? Oh, no. Somebody asked him how he would rate it out of 10, and he said he would rate it an 8 out of 10.
Yes.
Which is, hey, 8 out of 10. That sounds great, but if I was him, I probably would have said 10 out of 10.
Yeah, and someone asked him what held it back from a 9 or a 10. And he said he commented on the camera.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got fired.
He's gone.
But then today we saw a UK general manager of Nokia talking about their upcoming device. He described it as absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I guess he was on the rebound trying to bring it back.
Well, I think he learned something from the Microsoft employee. Don't say anything bad about it. Call it stunning. Say the most, you know, impressive thing you could possibly say about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe they're doing damage control from that. Who knows?
Just as a quick aside, there was some weirdness with our podcast feed. If you happen to notice it, there was tons of episodes that didn't belong to us, and belongs to all kinds of people. Most of them were video podcasts. It was very strange.
Yeah, which we don't have any video episodes at all.
We thought it was a problem with Zune because there are problems with Zune occasionally.
Not very often.
It turned out it was the service that we distribute our podcast through, which is Blip, which they have been great so far. And it's free? Do they distribute for free? Yeah,
it's free.
It's been great so far. It's free.
We love them.
We do love them. But then I logged into our account and noticed that it said that they were having problems with feeds colliding with each other for no reason.
I called you the other night and was like, oh my gosh, we have a serious problem. We have hundreds of episodes and none of them are ours.
we were tweeting Rob Greenlee, who is a big Zune guy at Microsoft. We were tweeting him furiously about it.
Yeah, and he actually responded within an hour. And this was late at night. It was like 1 a.m. when he wrote us back. And whatever he did fixed it, and I realized why later, because I guess I resent him our feed URL, but I didn't include a trailing slash, and when he re-added it without the slash, everything worked fine. And the Blip notice that you sent me said that if you had a slash in there, you would see this problem that they were experiencing, but you wouldn't see it without the slash, which is why I wasn't seeing it on the, when I was manually checking our feed URL.
Yeah.
It was just really confusing, but I'm glad they got all that figured out. And big thanks to Rob for responding immediately.
Yes, definitely. You also posted a story on our blog, lanceandgoradio.com.
Yeah, well, I mean, you posted a story, so I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll post one. I'll find something to post too. Oh yeah, so anyway, I'm sort of nervous about this impending AT&T T-Mobile merger. Some days it looks extremely likely to go through, and other days it doesn't. So I've just sort of been shopping around for alternatives, just in case, I decide that I don't want to go through with that. There's another wireless provider called Credo Mobile. They're basically a virtual network operator. They resell space on the Sprint network. Sprint is just basically the network backbone that they use.
Although what's funny and weird is that on Credo's website, the phones they have listed, they all have Sprint logos. They don't have Credo logos.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyways,
they should do something about that.
Yeah.
It's sort of a giveaway. It's like, this is really Sprint. Oh, you're right. They do say Sprint.
Do they actually... as far as Credo goes, I had heard about them before. I think when they first launched, there was a story on Engadget about them.
Uh-huh.
But do they actually advertise where you are?
No.
I know they're on Sprint's national network, but I've never actually seen an ad for them, so...
No, I've never seen an advertisement for them either. I think I heard about them originally through Engadget, and... But I follow a lot of, progressive causes like Rainforest Alliance and Union of Concerned Scientists and stuff. And so I get, like, a lot of emails anyway, and I started eventually getting emails from Credo through that. And they're trying to get me to switch to them, and they're saying, hey, we donate a certain portion of what you pay us to, nonprofits and causes that you get to have a hand in choosing. So anyway, I think they're pretty cool, and I wrote them and told them, hey, I like what you guys are about, but you don't offer Windows Phone, so I'm not going to switch unless you decide to offer that. And they actually wrote me back, like, within a few minutes and said, thanks for your message and your interest. We're actually adding such a phone later this year, so please stay tuned.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. They'll be offering at least one Windows phone, and it'll probably be the HTC Arrive, and it'll probably have the Sprint logo on it. So I just wrote a little blog post about them and what they're about and how they're going to offer a Windows phone.
Yeah, they're basically, they're sort of like the hippie cell phone carrier.
Yeah, they kind of are.
Which is really cool because, every other carrier is kind of like the man, so...
Yeah, I know. If you want to go to someone other than the man, that's kind of your choice.
So, but how do you feel about the HTC Arrive?
It's okay. I mean, I would probably wait for a Mango phone anyway, so I'm more excited about the fact that they're just adding a Windows phone.
Well, you know, actually, I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a story on, I believe it was ZDNet, where they asked their readers to vote on their the top phones they liked the best and the top phones and then the worst phones they didn't like.
Yeah.
And the only Windows phone that made it onto it was the Arrive.
Really? Well, that's impressive. I mean, it's got nice specs. And I really like the slide-out keyboard. And from what I've read, it's very comfortable to use. It works pretty well. You know, of course, the start screen on Windows Phone hasn't been reworked to work in landscape mode yet. But that's not a huge deal. So, I mean, all in all, it's a good phone. But it's not a Mango phone. It doesn't have a front-facing camera. So I would probably just stick with the phone I have. But until they come out with maybe a Mango version with a front-facing camera.
And also, in that same article, the majority of the worst phones were Android phones.
Of course. Well, that's just the majority of phones available now, so that's to be expected.
True. But there wasn't a Windows phone on the worst list, so there you go.
That's cool. That's really awesome. Yeah, we should probably talk about some apps and games real quick.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a lot of them, and believe me, I didn't intend it. So I've been using Flixster, the app. It got updated to Mango. They definitely improved the live tile. It now it's a lot more active than it used to be. It flips to show the movie to show a movie poster now instead of just showing a movie poster on one side.
Oh, okay. What does it show on the front side? Just the name of the app?
It's the Flixster logo. Yeah.
Okay.
You can, and the thing that I really like about it though is that you can pin theaters to your start screen.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you can just click on it and it opens the theater right up and shows you the show times right there.
That's really handy.
About them, though, it is. It's super handy. The thing about it though is that the tiles for the theaters, they're kind of boring to look at. All it is it's like a blue background and with like a darker blue used for a ticket stub.
And then the name of the theater.
Yeah. And it does flip over to say the name of the theater in big letters, but that's all it does.
Ooh, big letters.
Yeah, I wish they could have done, I don't know, something with it, but yeah.
I don't know what else they would put unless they had a picture of the theater itself or maybe movies that are showing there or something.
Or yeah, I mean, even if it just flipped over to show the poster of the movie like the regular tile for the app does.
That's true, and it could still say the name of the theater.
Yeah, it is, and it's a free app. It's in the market. I recommend it.
I'm going to get that because I've been, trying to find movie showtimes a lot lately, and, you can hit the start button to bring up Bing and type in movies, and it'll bring it up, but sometimes my Bing takes a while to perform a search. I think that's just part of my local network lagginess. What else have you been using?
So, also, as far as two apps I discovered to help you personalize your start screen, just make it a little more fun, is LiveTile Now, which it's a free app, and it lets you pin pictures to your start screen, which you still can't do, which seems weird to me. You can't pin a picture from the picture hub. You can pin a photo album, but not a picture.
Yep.
So this lets you put pictures. It can flip to show a different picture. You can add text to the pictures. So it's kind of just a fun little thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Put pictures of your family, your dog, something.
Yeah.
The other one is Album Art Wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
This is another free app. What it does is it brings up a list of all your albums you have on your phone, music albums. And you can click them or you can hit select all, which I've actually never gotten the select all option to work. It's always frozen, but that could be because I have a ton of albums on my phone.
it's probably bogging down, yeah.
Yeah, I won't really hold that against them. But then what it does is, so you select the albums, and then it can arrange the album artwork into a grid, and you can choose whether you want it, how much, you know, the number, like the rows and columns you want. And then you can just basically save that to your phone, and then you can set it as like your wallpaper on your lock screen.
Oh, that's cool. So it looks kind of like the default background in the Zune player. Like the Zune PC software, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The now playing screen.
Sort of, kind of.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it looks really nice. I like it a lot. It's the background on my phone right now.
That's a great idea. I always see these apps around, and I'm like, wow, that's really a great, easy idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Also, a big app that came to Windows Phone this week, or just a couple of days ago, was WhatsApp, which is, it's a cross-platform messaging app.
Yeah, and it uses it's proprietary, so like it doesn't, you know, connect to GTalk or AIM. It's sort of its own thing.
Yes, and it doesn't use your text messaging. So
right, yeah,
you can text away, and it uses your data.
Yeah, and what I like about that app is that I installed it just now today, actually, on my Windows phone. I had previously had it on my Android phone, and I was thinking I was going to have to try to remember my username and password. But it's just based on your phone number, and in order to verify that you are your phone number, it sends you a text message, and you just enter the verification codes. So that was actually really cool. I didn't have to remember anything to start using it again.
I mean, I've enjoyed it. It works fine. The only thing about it is you can definitely... It seems like maybe they rushed it, like, to get it out there.
Because it doesn't look good.
It's not a good-looking app. It is super bare bones. I was actually talking about this through Twitter with Windows Phone Daily, because they had made a comment about it, and I talked back to him, and he pointed out that if you go into the app, there's not even a WhatsApp logo anywhere.
Wow, yeah, so probably was rushed, but
it doesn't. It doesn't even say what you're using.
But it works well. That's what's important here.
It does work. It has a live tile that updates to let you know that someone sent you a message. It also has push notifications or toast notifications.
Excellent.
Okay, also, a fun little game is Wizard's Choice Volume 1. It's basically a choose-your-own-adventure, sort of like those old 80s text games that were on computers.
Yeah.
I don't remember those because I was born, but but yeah. So you all just right. Kind of, you know, you read your story and then you select your path that you're going to choose. You know, like you're being chased by goblins. You know, do you stay and fight or do you run and hide?
Yeah, I do remember those games. So,
but it's but it's really fleshed out the story. It's well written. The first volume is free. After that, there's two more volumes in the marketplace. They're only 99 cent. They all have really high ratings, almost 5 stars.
And you're fighting mythical creatures and stuff?
Yeah, there's goblins and witches and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that one out.
And then the other thing I've been playing is Taptitude.
I've been playing that too. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a mini game collection, which by the time you're going to listen to this, they'll have 40 games because every Tuesday, they call it Taptitude Tuesday, they add a new game. It's a free app too.
Which is awesome. Yeah. It has everything from like Memory Match to something called Shape Ninja where you actually like slash through shapes that, you know, bounce up on the screen.
Yeah. They're all games that you know and you've played before, so it's easy to kind of get into it and start playing. It is actually, one of the cool things, you know, is on Bing you can search for apps and you can search by rating. It's the number one rated app on Windows Phone.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I like about it is that it is so simple. You know, the games they're simple, they're easy to play. And the more you play, the more coins you win and the more games you can actually unlock. So it's sort of like rewards you. The more you play, the more you get to play. It's a cool concept.
It is, because when you first start it up, yeah, you don't have access to every game. You have to play them and start earning the coins, and you start unlocking as you go. And I actually got contacted through Twitter by the creators of it, Four Brothers Studios. They were like, you know, curious if we had ever played it before, and they offered to give us a redemption code. This is one of the few apps that actually has redemption codes built into it, where you can type something in and it unlocks things.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Which I wish more apps would do. But
they probably will now.
Yeah.
I mean, if we talk about it, you know.
So yes, for our listeners, go download Taptitude and hit redeem code, and then all you have to type in is glance and go. That's glance, A-N-D-G-O, glance and go.
One word.
One word, no spaces. And what do you unlock, Kevin?
What that code gets you is 5,000 coins, a hustler hat for Bali Games, which is one of the games in there. You get the Oopsie upgrade, which unlocks several other games. So basically, you get all these games without having to play and collect coins to unlock the games. They just give you a whole bunch of games right off the bat. You also get the Slow-Mo upgrade, which is part of Shape Ninja. And I just want to thank the developers for this, because when you type in our code, it says, we want to offer all of this to the listeners of Glance and Go Radio. So,
oh, that thank is you. Awesome.
Yeah, it's, you haven't entered the code yet?
Well, see, they actually gave me my own code to use. So.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Okay, I see. Well, I guess I was the first one to redeem the Glance and Go code then. It was really cool. It made me feel very special. So thank you, Four Brothers Studio. And everyone, go download it.
Yes, thank you. That is awesome. And a quick little side note. I'm a Windows Phone 7. We talked about it on the last episode, didn't we?
Yes. And yes. Possibly the one before that.
Yeah. And I couldn't help but notice that when I was looking at Taptitude, which is at number one as far as Windows Phone apps go and ratings, I'm a Windows mm-hmm. Phone 7 was in the top 10 with it. So,
yep.
That is awesome for them. We actually wrote an article on our website, you should go read, talking about the future of I'm a Windows Phone 7. The developer, Scott Peterson, got in contact with us, was telling us about it. Sounds really awesome. A lot of Xbox features coming. Coming really soon. And even more, even bigger ones coming down the pipeline. So
yes. He sounds very excited about his app and about the platform. And it sounds like he's going to continue updating the app with more and more functionality. And the cool thing about it is that it's always, always going to be free. And it's not going to have any ads in it ever.
Yeah, and a bunch of it's a communal app. So many of the ideas that he's implementing come from people around the world who are using the app and have a suggestion.
Yeah, he actually has 30 or something people all over the world that are translating different parts of the app. There are people all over the world acting as moderators in the forums, and the forums feature is actually growing pretty quickly. There's a lot of user participation in them now. So it's a really awesome app, and it's quickly becoming like the go-to app for finding other people that are also using Windows Phone. So if you don't have it on your phone yet, you should go download it. It's really worth it.
It is. It's sweet.
Yep. And we're probably going to talk more about it. Probably going to write some more blog posts, because Scott gave us a lot of information, and we just have to get around to posting it and exploring the app some more. Oh, and with the latest update, the interface, it looks really cool now.
It does. It looks like your start screen, basically.
Yeah, it's basically a bunch of tiles. It's very Metro-y. So,
yeah. What have you been playing with?
Well, last week sometime, one of my friends who lives in California now texted me, and she was like, why don't you use Google Latitude anymore? You're never on there. I don't know where you are. I can't stalk you constantly. Because we used to stalk each other, and I would text her and say, hey, are you having fun at such and such place? And I wrote her back, and I was like, well, because Google doesn't have Latitude on Windows Phone, because Google hates Windows Phone, and blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, like a couple days later, Gmaps Pro, a third-party app, was updated with support for Google Latitude. So I've been running that lately, updating my location and seeing where my friends are.
I think it's so weird because I think everybody has said, you know, that only through, like, Gmaps Pro is the only way we're ever going to see, like, you know, Google Maps support on Windows Phone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just seems weird to me because, I mean, I know Microsoft and Google really don't like each other, but I mean, they have all of those official Google apps on the iPhone and iPad, and,
yeah,
you know, Apple is over there suing the pants off of every Android partner they can.
I know, it's mind-boggling why are they treating us like this when they're not doing that to Apple. But at least we do have some third-party developers bringing us Google functionality. You know, we've got a GChat app now. We've got Google Latitude through Gmaps Pro. We've got Google Voice through several apps. We've got Google News through the Google News app. So, you know, and the only official thing we've seen from Google is that Google Search app, which is, I'm sorry, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, it really is.
It doesn't even embrace Metro.
I mean, I think they really put it out as a joke. I don't think they...
Probably.
They were like, here, take this and be happy.
You would think they want as many people using their services as possible.
Yeah, to try to lure people over to Android, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, whatever. So another app I've been using a lot of lately is SuperTube. I've talked about it before. It's a YouTube app. But the thing I love about it is that it lets you download YouTube videos and save them to your phone. So for someone like me that doesn't have the best bandwidth, you know, where I live, I can still pull up all those stupid, crazy, funny videos that I want to watch that I've already downloaded and just rewatch them.
Yeah, it's my YouTube client on my phone as well. I love SuperTube.
Yeah, I think it's the best one, and it integrates with the Music and Video Hub very well. So, you and I have both been using the WordPress app, which works very well. We've used it to check our stats and update some blog posts and check for comments, even though we don't have any comments.
Yeah, it's a great app. I mean, you can really do just about everything that you can do on the WordPress website through the app.
Yeah, it's awesome. And another app I wanted to call attention to is one called XDA Wallpaper. It's one that was, it came about from the XDA forums, and it basically lets you either download a photo or choose a photo from your collection, and it applies an overlay to the photo that gives it sort of a Metro UI look for your wallpaper to use. And the one I like, it kind of puts like a Metro looking up arrow on your wallpapers to indicate that you swipe up to unlock. Yeah, it's really neat. There are several overlays to choose from. There's one that makes the wallpaper kind of look like your start screen. It sort of splits it out into tiles. But it's free. It's really cool. Just sort of gives your wallpaper that extra Metro look that it doesn't have already. So I would recommend checking it out.
I'm going to download that.
Make it so.
All right, everybody. I think that's wraps it about up. We want to tell everybody to please like us on Facebook, Glance and Go Radio. Also on Xbox Live, you can friend us, gamertag Glance and Go. Follow us on Twitter, at Glance and Go. And if you're still listening, we're going to have a contest.
We are.
We want to get over 25 likes on Facebook. So if you like us and we get over 25... we will put all those names in a hat. But if you like us and post on our wall a little message, say you love us, and
Or suggest a news story or something you'd like to hear us talk about. Anything, really.
Whatever. Yeah. We'll enter you twice. And we're going to put all the names together, mix them up. We're going to draw one out. And whoever's name comes out is going to get a free month of Zune Pass.
Yep.
Which is pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. It's a good prize. But that's only if we get 25 likes before we record our next episode.
Which is not the tightest deadline.
No.
So.
But as we're going to try to start recording more frequently, if I were you, I would go ahead and like us and write on our wall.
That's right. Don't take any chances because we might record two
tomorrow.
Days from now. Yeah. Nobody won.
Yeah, so anyway, that's our first contest, and we hope you guys like us so we can get a username on Facebook, and plus, we just like being liked, because we're human.
We're vain, you know?
Yeah, extremely.
All right,
so thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.